Hi, welcome to Don't Ask, I'll Tell, Memoirs of an Unexpected Soldier. All right, that's enough of that bullshit. Oh, well. Hello. Welcome to Don't Ask, I'll Tell, Memoirs of an Unexpected Soldier. This is Lawrence Evans, and I am joined in my barracks room studio by none other than my colleague, my friend, my musician pal, Harry Choyne. How are you?
I'm great, and thanks for having me on.
So welcome. Yeah, so you're, well, of course, we know each other from way back because you're also in the Army Band in Fort Riley. So I just thought, well, let's have him up and we'll have a little interview of our own. So how's it going?
It's going good.
Good. Yeah, we were talking just before we started recording about how you get the comfy chair and I'm sitting in the, you know, decrepit, about to fall apart, barracks room, standard issue, awful, terrible for your back, chair. So you're welcome.
Well, thank you.
Out of the graciousness of my heart.
I think I really deserve this chair tonight.
You think you deserve it, but yeah. Moving on. Don't expect anything else. But that's good. No, great. The reason I wanted to have Harry on today is just because, well, I talk a lot in the last two episodes about what it's like to be a gay soldier, but not a lot about what it means to be an Army musician. So I just wanted to like talk a little bit about what it means to be an Army musician and what are your thoughts? Why did you join the Army to be an Army musician?
I joined the Army to become a better musician, actually. I wasn't being challenged enough in school, so I thought I kept seeing the opportunity. Clarinet players needed for the Army Band. Why not give it a shot?
Why not?
So I auditioned and got it and was like, oh, this might be fun. So
yeah. Was it? Is it?
It's not exactly what I expected.
No, it's not, is it? But yeah, clarinet. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, play clarinet and you play, I've seen you play ukulele and you play lots of stuff. You can play keyboard.
Mm-hmm. The keytar downrange.
Keytar. That's right. That's right. Harry went to Kuwait and Iraq with us in the last deployment. Was playing a lot of different instruments when we were troubadouring around the desert.
Have you talked about troubadour?
No. Okay. I believe you and Gumbert, Joshua Gumbert, had a duo and you were called Choinbert.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your days with Choinbert.
We did just covers of songs. He was a guitar player. So it was guitar and clarinet. And we just went around doing the troubadouring.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. And got to play for a lot of the higher-ups. We went to Ollie. So.
And what do you mean by higher-ups?
Majors and above.
Mm. Yeah. Well. So then when you had to play for the lower enlisted, you kind of turned your nose up then.
Well, no.
Oh, I only play for majors and above.
We played the exact same music, but there was less of an audience.
We can't play for people below a major. We're much too classy.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed. If there's no Evian, there's no... Oh, yes, Evian. Okay, so today... Let me start over. So, Juneteenth. Way back in yesteryear, talking about yesteryear, Abraham Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, put out the Emancipation Proclamation. Yes? Yes. Now, when he put it out, there was no Twitter, there was no Instagram, social media. They didn't even try homing pigeons. People did not get the news of the Emancipation Proclamation in Texas until 2 years later, almost 2.5 years later. So they got the news in June of that particular year, and that's why they call it the Juneteenth Festival, because they celebrate that it was June, when they all got the news that slavery had been abolished and all the celebration began. So, 200 some odd years later, here we are in Junction City, Kansas, which is the city right outside Fort Riley. And we're in the park, and we're all set up, and we're slated to play a half hour, starting from 11:30 to 12. Well, everything was all set to go. And then they said, we have a special treat today. We have Abraham Lincoln. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. Sure enough, here comes Honest Abe, this tall white guy with that terrible beard, hobbling up to the podium. And he was an impersonator. Obviously, they didn't exhume Abraham Lincoln and put puppet strings on him and just marionette him up to the freaking podium. No, there's this impersonator. So he comes up, and he starts talking. But then the talking turned into rambling, and then he started to read. He started to read his Emancipation Proclamation. Listen, folks, when I tell you that I think Abraham Lincoln was dyslexic, this one, not the real one. He was reading it like this. What can I read around here? I'm just going to read this. This is my 21-day fix eating plan. Regardless of your previous ways of eating, I'm like, this guy read the whole damn Emancipation Proclamation like this. In the year of our Lord, 1800. Come on. And I'm thinking the entire time, my God, where is Booth when you need him? This would be the perfect moment.
Can't listen to a president speak like that for speech after speech after speech.
Right.
It would have been like, how did he even get elected?
Right. Well, but like, I get it, but just cut the speech short. All you have to say, really, if you're an Abraham Lincoln impersonator, this is all you have to do. 67 years ago, thank you very much. Have a good day. That's it. That's all you got to do. That's it.
Easy enough.
Yeah, wave. You're good. You're fine. Bye.
And the handbag.
Yeah. He looked like Mary Poppins up there. He had this carpet bag that he kept pulling stuff out of. Oh, God. But anyway, so that was Juneteenth, and we played our set. It was fine. It was hot, though. It's already about, like, 97 degrees.
At least we were in the shade a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, under that tree, so it wasn't all that bad.
No, it wasn't. I felt bad for the people that were actually watching, because where we were, it was shady, but the audience, I mean, there was maybe 5 people there. The audience was in the sun directly in these metal benches. And I'm just like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no one really stayed. And once Abe started talking, we lost our audience.
We sure did. These poor old women, they didn't have much to hold on to anyway. And then when he just started talking, that was it.
He talked for like 15 minutes.
He sure did.
And
most of it was figuring out what the word was.
Yeah.
Fuck. Don't quit your day job, I want to tell him. But I'm nervous that his day job is something important that he fucks up too.
Or his day job is being Abe Lincoln. I mean, he did have business cards for Abe.
Who would hire him again? That's my question. Mm-hmm. He's like a one and done. He probably like travels the country and then he's just a one-shot Johnny.
Well, every time I see something, I automatically go to it. Something moves.
Do you have ADD? Like,
a little bit.
Harry.
What?
You're autistic, Harry. No. Wouldn't that be a twist on Harry Potter? You're not you're a wizard, Harry. He just dreamed it up in his head, but really he's just special needs.
Dang.
At the end of the entire series. Wouldn't that be a twist?
That would be a twist.
Like during the entire series, it's this whole big thing, and then Voldemort's dead. Sorry, spoiler, but you should know already. And then at the end, at the very, very end, J.K. Rowling writes in the book, and then a voice from across the room, Harry, your mom's here. And he walks over, and it's this guy in a peer tutoring classroom in high school, and he has to get special needs classroom.
I think you just wrote another novel.
No, I think I rewrote one of the most brilliant or best-selling series. You're welcome, public. Mm. You're welcome. JK, I'll give you my bank account info. You can just transfer the money directly. So, Harry, you're from Chicago.
I am, the Windy City.
The Windy City.
Yeah.
What's funny is that I don't think many people know why it's called the Windy City, really. Everyone just goes, well, it's really windy there. Wrong. It's because of old politicians, right?
I've heard that.
I was going to say, you don't know, do you?
I heard that, but I also heard another theory. So I heard this story that the Indians used to grow onions along the lake near where Chicago is. And the lake would, the winds off the lake would blow the smell of the onions to the surrounding areas. And that's why it's called the Windies. But
well, then why don't they just call it the Onion City or the Onion Smell City?
I mean, that would be more accurate.
Or the Crying City, because theoretically, wouldn't people just be crying?
Yeah.
Because of the fumes. Oh, God. Have a good day at work, John.
But I don't know. You heard this politician thing.
Yeah. Windbags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody just, in the olden days, really, it was about the 1910s, 20s. And the Chicago was full of windbags because everybody was windbag politicians. Not so different from today. Should just be called the Windy Nation. I mean, from that theory,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The Windy Nation, although I feel like people abroad would kind of maybe raise an eyebrow and be like, it's just flatulent people? It's just, that's it? The Windy City, American Indians. What kind of Indians were they?
I just don't remember any of that.
It'd be interesting if they were like Sioux Indians. I was thinking about Sioux Indians today. I don't know why. But I was thinking about them, and I thought, wouldn't that be funny if this, like, class clown on the reservation school was just, his tagline was, what are you going to do? Sue me? And then he gets scalped.
Oh, boy.
Because who can stand a class clown that just has a terrible tagline? Especially on a reservation. Unless you're doing something good, like planting fish heads in the ground to grow corn, or, you know, managing the tables at the casino. Man. What good are you? Wow. Who else can I offend today?
Well, let's not go for everyone, okay?
So. We gotta have a few friends, right?
Yeah.
Fuck them. I'll make fun of my own people. Gays are ridiculous. Ridiculous.
You sure are.
I'm very ridiculous. I can make fun of myself all day. Like my hair today. What the fuck? I'm still pissed that you, none of you saw the cockatoo, like, just old man hair on the back of my head and didn't say anything to me. Where was the Evian girl? She would have told me. What's the matter with your Apple Watch?
I'm trying to help a friend out.
On your Apple Watch?
Yeah.
What are you, a Go-Go Gadget?
I'm just reading a message right now on my Apple Watch, okay?
Yeah.
And, I'm not going to say anything.
I feel like a torpedo is going to, like, pop out of your watch.
I mean,
and
that'd
like
be cool. Like, just like...
Yeah. Boom. Seriously. So what did your friend want? What did your friend say? Is it an emergency? Is she in labor?
No.
Is he in labor? That'd be weird.
No. Just need some help with some technology.
Oh.
Which I'm not really good at to begin with, so good luck.
Yeah.
You know.
What kind of technology?
Well, you know how the internet's down in the barracks.
It's down.
Like Boingo internet, not if you have Vive or
Oh, Boingo's down?
Boingo's down.
So I was correct not to get Boingo.
Yes, because it's down and they're supposed to be fixing it.
How long has it been down for?
The whole week.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just going to let them borrow my internet.
Aw, you're such a nice person. I'd let them borrow my internet for $30.
Yeah, I could use some money.
Yeah? Like, sure, you can use my internet. $30. Wait, you got
to
start over. You're being blown up on your phone. Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about this?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm being blown up because I'm getting all these messages from girls all of a sudden on all these sites.
I thought you didn't, you know, respond to all these things anymore.
I haven't been looking.
Right.
I just see that, I got this notification and this notification.
Oh.
I haven't been going on them and trying, but.
Well, it's so funny because the other day I was talking about how, for me, and now, we should get this out of the way. Harry Choyne is not gay, obviously, because he was talking about girls, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, some people are crazy out there. They might be thinking, like, what kind of girls? Is Caitlyn on? Is Caitlyn Jenner on, you know, Match.com? So, so I'm thinking, like, but I was talking the other day about how there's no one on Tinder for me. There's nobody. Not just for me, but for any gays that are in my immediate area, of which there are none, or are two. Because I swiped through them real quick. So anyway, you're talking to who now?
I mean, I'm talking to a few people.
Ooh, wow.
But none of them have gone anywhere.
Right.
You know, it's
they're still in the preliminary stages.
You talk to people, and then as soon as you ask them out for coffee or dinner, it's just like, oh, I don't want to go with you. Why would I do that?
And you're just wait, like, this is wait, you to them, or no, like no, this is them to you?
Me.
Oh,
it's just like, well, why have I been talking to you for the last 2 weeks? Or you know,
I think
like what was the point of that?
I think just to talk, maybe.
Yeah, like that's what it is. A lot of times is what I'm finding. Like people are just on the line to chat.
Yeah.
And they don't want anything else more than that.
Then go to a fucking chat room is what I say to these people. You know, just
yeah, like I'm not there to chat.
Right.
If I was there to chat, I'd say I was there to chat.
Or you'd go to a chat room.
Right.
Who goes on dating sites or on dating apps just to chat? A lot of people, I guess.
Yeah.
But still, there should be a rule. There should be a law. Those people should be sent to a reservation. Put to death. Scalped.
Back to that.
Now we can get back out of that real quick. Mm-hmm. So, well, that's good. That's not good. No,
that's not good.
I just like, oh, what's the transition here? But you're going tomorrow. I mean, you were just telling me you're going on a date tomorrow.
Going on a date tomorrow. Hopefully that goes well.
Well, that's good.
We'll see.
You'll have to let me know because it's the first time you're meeting this girl, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to tell me. You're going to have to be like, shoot me a text real quick if it's like you open the door. Hi. How you doing? Are you Harry? Come on in. I just made chicken.
Like, bye.
You know. Yeah. See you later. Bye. Do you mind if I call you Bubba?
Okay.
Reminds me of my wife back in prison. Sorry. Well, good. Well, good luck. Best of luck with that tomorrow.
Oh, thank you.
God, I haven't been on a date in forever. It's probably been... The last time I went on a date, it was a blind date, and it was terrible. Back in October, I think it was. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah. We've been really busy at the band.
We have. And it's been hard to find time.
Right.
And, like, when you meet someone and you, like, want to try and set up a date, there's never a time to do
never.
That. No.
Ever. Unless they want to drop everything that they're doing and come, you know, see you.
And see me.
Right. Because you're kind of in the same boat I am. There's really no one around here.
No, like, well, tomorrow I'm going, you know, 2 hours in a different direction.
Holy cow.
Is it going to be worth it? I don't know. But it's going to be a nice drive.
Is it going to be worth it? You'll have to tell me.
Yeah, well, probably not.
How was your drive, Harry? Man, you should at least stay for tea if that's the case, because there's got to be a good story in there somewhere if this chick turns out to be this guy.
That'd be scary.
Just opens the door in a wife beater, huge guy petting a tabby cat.
Yeah, I'm going to stay there for sure.
Meow.
Meow.
She likes you. So yeah, it's hard to find time. But anyway, the last time I was on a date, blind date, back in October, and it was so bad. We were going to Manhattan, to Aggieville. Aggieville in Manhattan is basically like the... equivalent of any college town's bar strip. You know, that you go down to there's this row of bars on one road, and that's where you just go and get shit-faced. Anyway, so I'm there, and I told this guy I'd meet him at this bar called Tubby's, so I go in there, and I, yeah.
That's like the worst bar down
there. I know, that warning sign number one, because he was the one that suggested it. Yeah. So I told him I'd meet him out front. Sure enough, I'm looking around, because from the picture I got, because it's blind date, right? But we told each other we would send each other a picture, but not revealing like our face. So of course we both sent each other like our smiles. This sounds so gay when I'm talking about it, but it was really good. Like, it was kind of cute. It was cute until I met him, but anyway, it was cute. And he sent me a picture of his smile, and I'm thinking to myself, ooh, you know, this is a smile of someone I can kind of get into. He looks like he can be. And I'm projecting all of these things. I'm projecting my Ken Barbie doll image into my head, you know, of like, ooh, he's like probably 6'4", blonde hair, brown hair, whatever, doesn't matter. You know, great body, Baywatch style body. And then I get there, and instead of the Ken Barbie doll, I get like the troll doll. This guy is from Malaysia. Is it Malaysia? No, it's Mongolia? No. What's the one in Singapore, like, that Singapore is around? Like, it's not Indonesia. Anyway, it's one of those countries. I'm really good at geography. But anyway, this guy, and he's, like, a stick figure, And, you know, I'm like, look, I'm going to be real honest with you. You're nothing like my type. But you made the effort to come out here. I made the effort to come out here. Let's go in. I'll get us a round of drinks and we'll just sit down and have a chat. He's like, okay. So we did. And then I just sucked that vodka soda down as quick as I could and said, okay, I got to go. Bye. I faked the phone call. I did that thing. I was like, oh, my God, my friend, it's an emergency and I have to go. Sorry.
Well, maybe you should give me a call tomorrow. Yeah.
I can do that for you.
Yeah. In case it's all disaster.
Get your ass back here in your cage. You were not allowed to leave. Oh. No, I'll definitely. If you need help, I will be there for you.
That's good.
Which car are you bringing? Because I know you got a lot of cars.
I'm taking my bike tomorrow.
You're taking your bike?
Yeah.
And it's newish, right?
Well, new to me. It's a 2007.
Oh, okay. So you just bought a bike. Man, I just signed up for a sweepstakes today for a motorcycle.
It's the Dr. Pepper one at the...
What?
Did you see the Dr. Pepper one at the main PX?
Is it a Harley Davidson?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I didn't know it was a Dr. Pepper one.
The bike isn't Dr. Pepper, but it's like through Dr. Pepper.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, I did. I did it online. And I also did like the PBR street tracker.
Nice.
Yeah. They're all there online. You just like sign up for them.
Cool.
But yeah, I signed up for it. And you have a car collection, right? Like,
yeah.
You've got a lot of cars there.
I got one for every day of the week.
Do you really?
Almost.
Seven?
Yeah. No, six.
Six.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't drive on the Sabbath. You wouldn't drive on the Sabbath day, so.
Right, of course.
because everyone's Jewish here. No one's Jewish here. I'm such a weird person in this room. I've got like a Buddha statue there. I've got a rosary here. I've got a cross there. But do I believe in anything? No. It's nice art. I like it. So your cars, you got like of that I know of. Here, you list them off. Okay. I only know of a few.
I got two 1931 Fords.
What does that mean to the layman?
I have two 1931 Ford Model A's.
Model A's. See, now, okay, there you go.
One's a two-door and one's a four-door.
Ooh, sedan.
Yes.
For
and
the family.
And I have a 1976 MG Midget, which is a two-door roadster convertible. And then I have a 68 Volkswagen Bug convertible, which is in really good shape. And then...
Just in case anyone wants to buy it.
Yeah. Always looking for buyers. And then I got my 1999 Passat, which was my first real car, you could say, because the Midget was really my first car.
Hmm.
But that didn't really work out so well in the winter.
Mm-mm.
So, got the Passat, and I still got the Bug out here, the new one.
So, what got you into cars? Like, what was the thing that you were like, I have to get these cars, or I love cars so much?
So,
I just wanna...
my dad, he actually gave me his Model A, which is the four-door that I have now.
Hmm.
And it's been in, he's had it since the 70s, I think.
When they were still new.
So he restored it from the ground up, and he's like always been into it. So I, of course, am into it. So yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's how I got started with cars.
Wow.
And in my senior year of high school, we rebuilt the engine on the four door, and went out to Indianapolis and drove on the track and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So. The NASCAR track, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Indianapolis okay. Speedway, yeah.
Well, you know. Yeah.
Just the dirt track out there.
You never know in Indiana. You never know. Just get some liquor and just, woo! Going down to the track. The Speedway? No. Country Road 5. Well, that's cool. So it's kind of like a family tradition. Did his father get him into cars?
Yeah, he owned a gas station in the city of Chicago.
Your grandfather?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
And he had Model A's that he worked on, which is how my dad got into
it. Ah, so it's true. It really is.
Yeah, and my grandfather had a 29.
What happened to it?
Two-door. My uncle got it and sold it and got a Cadillac and whatnot. So, you know.
So he's the black sheep of the family.
No, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that was back in the early 60s. I'm not going to, you know.
So you think he bought a Cadillac, but really he just sold it so he could get some prime hash. Sure, Lawrence. Sure. Mm. Well, cool.
Yeah. So that's how it all happened with cars and stuff.
That's how it happened.
Yeah. Remember earlier I was saying I got bombarded with my phone. And so I read one of these messages. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what the message says is, hey, would you like to talk? Maybe. Question mark. Mm-hmm. Now, is that any way to address somebody if you want to get their attention and talk to them? I mean, yeah, you got my attention, but is like, you really think I'm going to hold a conversation with you now?
I assume not. I wouldn't. I mean, what is that? Maybe. It's like that awful song that used to be really popular by, what was her name? Carly Rae Jepsen. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. Can we talk, maybe? No.
No, we can't.
No, we can't, because you are terrible at making conversation.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why she's on.
And I've also noticed, like, that's what a lot of people online are like.
Yeah.
Horrible at conversation.
Well, and phone etiquette and, like, text etiquette, when you're first meeting someone, quote, meeting someone online, and you want to go on a date with them, it's really weird. On Tinder, they'll say just, hey, what?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah, I just, hey. In all caps, I want to write back, what?
Hey.
And like, if you, can you imagine walking into a bar and just like, using every conversation you're trying to start and pick up someone with is like using Tinder jargon
you
or Grindr jargon.
You go to the girl at the bar and you're like, hey.
And then just wait.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just wait for a response.
Or like go up to someone and like creepily look at them and then say, when you get up the courage, hey, could we talk maybe? Okay, crazy.
Yeah, that's awkward. That's
bye.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
For real.
Can't say I haven't done it before though. I am guilty
of doing
that.
We're all guilty of it.
But yeah.
Like the more it happens to you, you're like, oh, that's what I sound like. Yeah.
Right, and you want to change it immediately.
Yes.
Like from now on, recently I have been doing this where I go and I actually try to start a conversation. Like, hey, comma, you know, I thought you looked really great in this photo. You know, like, I think you've got great energy. You know, would you want to chat sometime? Question mark. Would you want to go out sometime? Whatever. Not, hey, and like, send hey out into the universe. The fuck? You're not gonna get anything back.
Yeah, you gotta mention something that makes them think that, or not think, but like show them that you read their profile. Or,
right.
You know, that you are actually interested in them and not just, oh hey.
Swipe right.
I don't care. Right. Hey.
Harry and I went to this place called Old Chicago's with a couple of our coworkers. Good food. Terrible waiters. We were there, and we're talking about Montana, and I'm talking about wanting to go to Brazil to go to the mountains. And our coworker, who's he's foreign, he's like, "Have you been to Montana?" And I'm like, "Wow, he sounds Hispanic now. He's not Hispanic at all."
You should just
stop.
Just stop.
I'll just stop making impressions.
Have you been to Montana?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't even say Montana right now. Montana.
Maybe you should stop doing impressions. Anyway. So he's like, well, have you been? Why don't you just go to the mountains in Montana? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, let me go to Montana and get killed. Montana ain't too good for my people. And he says, well, just don't tell them that you're gay. I'm like, I don't think I have to tell them. I really don't think that's necessary. This would be me going to Montana for the mountains. I get off the plane. I'd go out there and I'd find the first person to go, hey, I'm looking for the mountains. He'd look me up and down and go, yeah, I'll show you where the mountains are. Come around back. I'll show you real good. Boom! That's how that would happen.
Oh, God. Horrible.
Billy, get the shovel. Got another one. Wow. Well, all right. That's our show. Thank you very much, Harry, for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me, Lawrence. It's been a pleasure.
Good. We'll have to have you on more.
I hope I can. It'd be fun.
Awesome. Maybe we'll have to do a show live in one of your Model A's.
You wouldn't be able to hear it.
No, it'd be noisy. Yeah. I think I could pull it off. I could just yell.
Sure.
Sure. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Lawrence Evans, and this is Don't Ask, I'll Tell. Have a great day. For photos and more information about today's episode, please visit www.don'askoutell.com.